We're taking you behind the scenes with entrepreneurs that run product-based businesses, people that were once in your shoes. Our TSBC alumni, speakers, and friends will shed light on growth strategies, resources, and inspiration to help you scale your creative business. Hi, friends. I'm Katie Hunt, the founder of Trade Show Bootcamp, and welcome to Proof to Product. This week, I had the pleasure of sitting down with Rochelle Silva of Richie Designs, a boutique design and letterpress studio located in Long Beach, California. Rochelle is an art director, stylist, designer, and printer. She had a long career in the ad agency while she was also building up Richie Designs as a side hustle. Rochelle's products are sold at Paper Source, Urban Outfitters, and Sugarfina, along with hundreds of independent boutiques across the United States. Today's episode is a fun one. We're talking about leveraging past work experiences in our own businesses and the benefits of moving slowly and steadily at a pace that we're comfortable with as we grow our businesses. Hey, Rochelle, thanks so much for joining me today.
Hi, Katie. Thank you. Glad to be here.
I'm happy to have you. So first things first, I would like to know, when you describe your work to others, do you call yourself a printer or do you call yourself a designer?
That's one of those things that I stumble on my, you know, my elevator pitch. I'm like art director slash designer slash printer slash stylist, depending on the day and the moment.
Well, and too, I would assume it depends on who you're speaking to, you know? If you have something in common with them that's more along the creative director side or whatever it might be. Awesome. Well, tell us about your career path. I mean, Richie Designs is not your first stationery business. So tell us how you got into this industry and tell us about your previous business and how that led to this one.
So I worked for like 15 plus years in advertising. And during that time, I had my little side hustle, which was a company called Three Mulligans. And it was with two other business partners.
Okay.
And so I first walked the stationery show in 1990.
Wow.
And because this has been a dream of mine for like a bazillion years. In fact, I remember having a conversation sitting with college girlfriends and we were talking about our dream jobs and greeting card designer was mine.
Wow.
But I didn't know anybody in the industry. I didn't know any, at that point in college, I'm almost 50 years old. So Hallmark was it, you know, and I didn't know anybody in that industry at all. But I started with like independent line started up 20, 30 years ago. So I had the idea of walking the stationery show just to see what was there. At that point, get this, the whole top layer of the job at center was full.
Yeah.
And the bottom floor was half full.
Wow. Well, explain this to me. If there weren't independent brands and there was only Hallmark, like who was filling these booths at that time? What kind of brands were there?
Well, in my world, there was only Hallmark. Yeah. Of course, there were.
Well, that's true. The crane. Other, there's a whole bunch. Yeah.
There were other brands. But I was so, when I was walking that show, I didn't even know what to look for. That's how naive and green I was. So I was just walking the show just to see what was there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just to see what the industry held, it sounds like, you know, what possibilities are there here for a career or a job or whatever it might be.
Because I had just heard about the stationery show. I had no idea even what it encompassed at that point.
So you have this side hustle, Three Mulligans. Was that a greeting card company or was it, what were you guys doing?
It was greeting cards. And what ended up happening was one of the business partners moved out of state and it just sort of fizzled from there.
Yeah.
So I set it aside. Meanwhile, I'm working my advertising job. And to explain that a little bit more, because it does influence my business now, I started as an intern there.
At the advertising agency?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it was a very small group. It was more of a design group than an agency. And the more that they saw I could take on, the more responsibility I had. So I was everything from account manager to art director to I sat in meetings in place of my creative director. Clients would call me directly. And we were dealing with I worked in the power sports industry, so motorcycles. Mm-hmm. So I was dealing with like a Fortune 100 company.
Yeah.
And
it's kind of like you were a CEO within the company. I mean, you weren't the CEO clearly, but
yeah,
what you're talking about, wearing the multiple hats and juggling various responsibilities, that's what we do day to day as entrepreneurs.
Yeah, exactly. And I would not be able to do the work that I do now if I hadn't had that experience. Mm-hmm. On top of it, I got thrown into positions that I had no even concept of what the job entailed. Like, I got put in the position of being a producer for photo shoots when the normal producers weren't available, you know, flying across country and getting all of your staff onto boats and going out into the water or dealing with professional motorcycle team or getting catering done. So when it came time to do NSS, I was like, this is a cakewalk.
You'd already been doing lots of things like this where you've been coordinating multiple details. So you were in the advertising world. How mm-hmm. did you then make the jump to start Ritchie Designs?
Well, I used it as a side hustle. I never really thought mm-hmm. it could be a full-time gig. I got a call from Urban Outfitters in like 2012. And they bought one of my cards off of my Etsy site.
Okay.
And I was like, well, maybe I could do this full time. And about that time, the financial crash happened and we lost that account, that big account. So I got laid off from this job that I had had forever. And I had already bought a press at that point, and I just decided, well, now or never.
Yeah, you know, jump in head first and see if mm-hmm. this business will take flight.
But I was really swimming on my own. Like, I didn't know, I don't think Trade Show Boot Camp was up and running at that point.
You came to our very first paper camp. We started.
I did.
You did. We went. Mm-hmm. We started in 2011, but our first in person event was in 2012, which was right before you were doing your show. So
yeah. So I really was just flailing. Mm-hmm. I had no idea what I was doing. Even with all that experience, like emotionally, I wasn't ready to let go of this career that I had had. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's a shift. I mean, you were working at a 9-to-5 job with clients. You know, you were in a very, you know, it sounds like a very important role of having to make important decisions and things like that. But being our own boss, creating our own product, making all the decisions for ourselves, it's just a different mindset. It's a different.
Completely. And I relied heavily on the team that we had a small team. Mm-hmm. But if I had a question, I had somebody to ask.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're by yourself, you just end up going to the kitchen and like snacking.
Talking to your cat. No, just kidding. Yeah. How has your background as a printer shaped the decisions you've made for the business? Do you feel like it's caused you to go in any particular direction or?
Having printed for other designers who don't print, mm-hmm. I feel like it shapes my design for sure. Mm-hmm. You know, somebody who doesn't print is going to dream up 3-color designs versus somebody who has to stand there and actually print it. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, how do I make this work with 2? Because, you know, financially, or not financially, but yeah, financially, like time-wise.
Logistically, yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense to run a 3-color or 4-color card and sell it for $250.
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't make any sense to me. There are some people who can with automated, but I'm working still on a manual press, so.
And you do all of your own production in-house, correct?
I do. There have been some larger orders I probably should have farmed out. Mm-hmm. But for right now, it still works for me to do it all myself.
Nice.
I have one assistant. I shouldn't say all myself, but.
But it's still pretty, I mean, that's still pretty lean and mean for you to be juggling all of that yourself.
Yeah.
the creative and the actual production and fulfillment and all of it. You mentioned that you had worked with Urban Outfitters and that had kind of fallen in your lap a little bit. They contacted you. I don't want to say it's fallen in your lap, but they found you.
It did. Yeah, it fell in my lap.
How did that I mean, it sounds like that was kind of a tipping point, a catalyst point for you to actually say, okay, well, maybe I can make this a real business. Maybe this is something that I can do full time and sustain, you know, my livelihood on. Are there any other moments in your career that you can point to and say, you know what, that was a tipping point too, that shifted the way I was thinking about things or doing things?
Yeah, definitely doing the paper camp. I had already walked NSS, you know, years before I went to paper camp. Then I went to paper camp, and like within like the first half hour of us talking through the stuff, I was like, I am nowhere near ready to do this. Mm-hmm. Like I just, and there's a part of my brain, I think, that probably shut off in that meeting. I just felt like there was so much that needed, either emotionally that needed to change and or design wise that needed to change for me before I got to that place.
Mm-hmm. And you're not alone. I mean, we have people that come through paper camp, and at the end of the 2 days now, it was one day when you came, but at the end of the two, which was way too much info for one day. I apologize for that. But at the end of the 2 days, you know, they think, I still want to move forward with this, but I'm not ready for wholesale, or I'm ready, you know, or I'm ready to do wholesale, but I'm not ready to do shows. And honestly, I love hearing back from our alums that that's where they came to at the end of this, because I want to meet everyone in their journey exactly where they are, and I want to help them with whatever phase they're in. And so I actually had somebody email me the other day and say, does everyone that leaves paper camp go on to do, you know, the National Stationery Show? And I said, absolutely not. Like, we have people doing lots of other shows and or doing no shows or whatever. You know, you have to do what's best for you. But I think that sense of overwhelm, I'd actually like to talk about that a little bit more. You have taken a very admirable approach to growing your business. It's been slow and sustainable. You know, you took your time getting into wholesale. What motivated you to do this? Is this just how, you know, some people get so excited and they want to like do all the things right now? And, you know, you've taken a different stance to that. And can you talk us a little bit about that and why you chose to do that and the benefits you've seen from that?
I know that I work really slowly. I get overwhelmed quickly. And like when I did paper camp, it took me 3 years from that point to go to show.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there was a part of me that felt like I should be able to do this quicker because I had this knowledge. I had all of this experience behind me.
Mm-hmm.
But I've figured out, you know, I'm almost 50 years old. So trying to fit a square peg into a round hole doesn't work for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I've tried it before, and then I had, you know, end up having a little nervous breakdown and I have to collect myself again. So I just know I have to work slowly. So I work with, it's sort of an unusual situation, but I work with a sales rep and she has me throughout the US. She's also a personal friend.
Mm-hmm.
And she has an extensive background, and she worked for Paper Source and a bunch of other stuff. She and I rebranded my company, like, it's probably been 3 years now. And it took us a full year to rebrand because she wanted very specific things from me. And I said, you can only give me like 3 items a month. Otherwise, my head's going to blow off.
Mm-hmm.
So she worked with me in that way, and we worked really slowly. And I got all my designs up to par where I wanted to be. And only then did I feel like I was ready to move forward. And I think it's just like emotional wisdom, maybe is what you want to call it. Of just knowing that I work slowly.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not feeling bad about it anymore. Like,
you shouldn't feel bad about it. I think knowing yourself, knowing your work style and what motivates you or creates unmotivation within you, I think that's really powerful. And I do think some of it comes with age, but I do think it just comes with experience too, of knowing what you personally can handle. I think for me, I get really excited about ideas and want to start moving on them quickly. And then I find myself feeling overwhelmed. And then I need to take a step back from what I'm working on to kind of reassess and, you know, gain more energy back from it. And listening to you talk and hearing and knowing your story, I really admired how you are staying true to your own strengths and just doing things your own way. You're not going to get caught up in all of the things because you know that you can only handle, you know, a certain amount each month.
Yeah.
I think more people need to talk about that too, because I think there's such a, at least in the online world with entrepreneurs, there's such a focus on the hustle and the, you know, get it done.
Well, on the Instagram, like everything looks perfect and everybody's doing all these really fabulous things, which they may have been working on for 5 years before they actually started talking about it.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's a bad thing to sit back and like take a little breath.
No, I had breakfast with somebody that has been in the industry for 15 years. And she even says that, you know, there were different people that look like overnight successes. And she's like, oh, how did they do that? You know, and I said, you know that this is not the case. They've been working behind the scenes, plugging away. So I think whether you're just starting out in business or you've been in business for a long time, it is easy with Instagram and other social media platforms now to look around and just say, wow, like, how did they make that happen overnight? Or how did they make that happen so quickly?
And to talk a little bit about social media, I really had to, like almost 2 years ago, I had to like really examine how much energy I was putting into it.
Tell me more.
And Twitter for me was like a mind melt. Like it's so easy to like follow all the conversations and get caught up and start chatting with people. But I found myself like my brain was about ready to explode. And I just made a conscious effort that I was going to post to Twitter, but I wasn't going to engage in conversations anymore, which is I'm probably missing out on a huge, you know, ability to talk to people. But for me, the mental like peace of mind of taking myself out of it was so much greater than whatever I was going to get from it.
Yeah, the benefits that were tied to spending that time and energy there.
So obviously I spend time on Instagram and visuals are so much more fun for me.
Yeah.
And a little bit of time on Facebook, not a huge amount, but posting. And I have a personal thing for Facebook with my family lives out of town. So
yeah. I know. It's been interesting to watch over the years how social media has changed and how people are connecting in different ways. You know, I met a lot of our Paper Camp speakers on Twitter, you know, in 2008, 2009, and after that too. But now I'm not spending much time there anymore because our community of entrepreneurs were very visual and we enjoy that visual aspect of Instagram. But, you know, as those algorithms change and, you know, then we're on stories and where else are we? Yeah. You know, it's hard to. It's hard to keep up, but I agree with you, like acknowledging how much energy and time and effort is going in, mostly time too. It's shocking sometimes when I track where my time is going, how much I'm spending online. But what advice would you give to people that are at the early stages of starting a product-based business? You've had your hands in so many different things, not only in your business, but through the ad agency. Like, what would you tell somebody just starting out?
I mean, diversify yourself, you know, make sure you have, like, I still have private clients that I do art direction and styling for their catalogs. So make sure you have a diversified sort of portfolio of work that you're doing. Also, back yourself up with really smart and qualified people. I don't do numbers, so I have a bookkeeper. Like that was one of the first things I did. It just gives me a peace of mind to like figure a way to make it happen.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And then just research. Those are the things that I really would focus on.
You talked about doing the styling and the logistics and the production and all these other things. Do you feel like all of that experience has helped you in your business now?
Oh my God, yeah, for sure. In fact, I wasn't dedicating the amount of time and energy into my own photo styling up until like a year ago. Mm-hmm. And I finally sat down and was like, why do I spend a week, you know, art directing somebody else's work to get their brand to the point? And then I sell myself short. I was like, okay, I need to put as much effort and time into my own thing. It's like the cobbler's kids have no shoes.
I was just going to say that. Or the stationery designer that doesn't send holiday cards because we just don't have
time. Oh, I don't send holiday cards. Are you kidding me? No. Gosh, if you guys get one in like April, you're totally lucky. And I can't even tell you how many times I've gone to a birthday party and forgot to take a birthday card. I'm the worst.
That's funny. All right. Well, what is one resource? This is something I'm adding to the podcast because I think it's so important that we all share the resources that we use. But what is one resource that you could not operate your business without?
To be honest, it's really your Facebook group. You know, when you work by yourself often, which like 90% of my work is solo, I really feel like I am in a vacuum, and that even just the knowing there are other people out there that I can ask questions to, or a question may come up in the Facebook group that maybe I was thinking about, but I didn't ask. So I might not be like super chatty on it, but I'm definitely watching the conversations happen.
I think that's true of a lot of different groups like that. Well, thank you for, I'm glad you're participating and enjoying the conversations we're having. But to your point about people kind of hanging out in the background, watching what's going on, observing and listening, I think that's pretty common in a lot of groups. And I just want to encourage anyone that's listening that is part of a group and maybe isn't as active, that's okay. I mean, definitely chime in where you can, but I think there's a lot of value in also just kind of listening instead of talking about different things.
Yeah. For sure. And I feel like I did myself a disservice because when I did Paper Camp initially, you had asked us to sign up for the Facebook group. But because I knew I wasn't going to NSS, I felt like I didn't really need to sign up. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I missed a whole section of like development because I wasn't on there initially.
There's a lot of benefits. I mean, we talk about a lot of other things outside of trade shows, just general operations of running your business. But the other thing is connecting with, as you mentioned, you know, most of us are working alone in a home office or studio or whatever it might be. And just having a place to go to talk to people that are in the same boat that you are in and working on similar types of things, whether they're further along or slightly behind your business, I think it's really powerful.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Well, what's next for you? What are you working on for 2018? And
well, it's January now, so we are going to the January gift show in Vegas. Mm-hmm. And we're also doing that this summer. When I say we, my sales rep and I travel together with another person that she reps.
Nice.
And I'm not doing NSS this year, skipping out on that this year. But we'll do like a trade show in a box sort of release. And I've also been working on a line of digital cards for the last like 6 months.
Oh, tell me more about that. Is that through your own site or are you licensing that to others?
Yeah, through my own site. I'm calling it Paper Nerds Unite.
Nice.
For Richie Designs. So it's just a little bit separated out. I just wanted to be able to use a little bit more color than I had been. Also, you know, as I mentioned, I print all my own work, and that sometimes, you know, is a lot. And it's a lot for me physically because I have a bunch of metal in my back from a surgery when I was 20. And so physically, I kind of have to think about it in terms of longevity for me about being able to print. So that sort of started the digital.
Gotcha. You've got a lot coming up between new releases, new styles, new print methods, new shows.
Yeah. I always feel like, you know, I'm planning for January, but my brain is in May, you know. Yeah. I'm always like 3 to 4 months out from where I'm at, which I'm sure everybody who works in gift is like, you know.
especially if they're in wholesale, they're always a season ahead, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was joking with my director of operations because we started planning for 2018 in like September. We didn't actually put like plot things to the calendar, but we did definitely. Yeah, we started brainstorming and what we wanted and, you know, getting stuff ready. So now that it's here, I'm like, yes, we can get going. We can get moving on it. So.
Good.
Anyhow, well, thank you so much for your time today. Where can people find you online if they want to check out your products and your brand?
RichieDesigns.com, RICHIE, designs is plural. And social media, I'm at Richie Designs through all of the networks.
Excellent. Well, we will be sure to link that in the show notes for anyone that wants to check out your work and your new digital printed line as well. And Rochelle, thank you so much for coming and sharing. And I really enjoyed hearing about your slow and steady growth mentality too. I think one of my goals for 2018 is to kind of just slow down a little bit to like, I still want to be doing new things, but I want to maintain and I want to take a bigger picture view of things and just be more methodical about things. And I like how you've done things. So congrats to you, girl.
Thank you.
Of course. All right. I am hearing a ton of feedback from people that are struggling with things like cash flow, hiring help, or they're looking for new revenue streams to layer into their existing business model. Well, this summer, I hosted a live event that was specifically for our TSBC alumni to help them scale and strengthen their businesses. This program was called Paper Camp Plus, but what we talked about went way beyond the paper industry. PaperCamp Plus was built for anyone running a small business who wants to refine their business operations so that they're working smarter and not harder. This content was way too good to hoard to ourselves and the 30 people that were in the room. So we're bringing PaperCamp Plus to you in an on-demand format, and it's available now for you to enroll. You can watch all 7 videos in one swoop, or you can pick and choose programs based upon what you need help with right now. Our speakers included Tanya Dalton of Inkwell Press, Kristen Lay from Thimble Press, Amber McHugh, Raina Pomeroy, and Mary Beth Storjahan. We talked about building better systems, cloning ourselves so that we can get more done in a day, how to manage our money and save for retirement, licensing and collaborations, as well as real talk about fear and confidence. If you are struggling with any of these things, head over to tradeshowcamp.com and look for the Paper Camp Plus on demand. Or you can find the link here in our show notes too. But running a small business is not easy, and you don't have to go it alone. We have solutions and resources to help you get ahead. Join us at tradeshowcamp.com, then click on Paper Camp Plus to enroll. Proof to Product is brought to you by Trade Show Bootcamp and hosted by me, Katie Hunt. Since 2011, TSBC has worked with hundreds of product-based businesses to help them uplevel, scale, and build profitable, sustainable companies. You can find our show notes and additional resources at prooftoproduct.com. And if you like what you heard today, please head over to Apple Podcasts to leave a 5-star review and subscribe. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back next week with a new episode.